welcome to the European Journal of Plastic Surgery Journal Club. Together with Plaster and Icoplast, we bring you the latest open access articles with unique insights from the authors and discussion with plastic surgery experts around the world. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy this month's episode. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this month's episode of the European Journal of Plastic Surgery Journal Club. I'm your host, Demetrios Rhesus, and I'm a plastic surgery registrar in London in the UK, and I'm president of our trainees association called Plaster. Today, we'll be discussing and appraising a new open access article recently published in EJPS. It is entitled "The Journey of Creating the First Dedicated Platform for Robot-Assisted Supermicrosurgery and Reconstructive Surgery." It is written by first author, Dr. Tom Van Mulken, and we're honored to be joined by him today. Dr. Van Mulken is a plastic and reconstructive microsurgeon working at Maastricht University Medical Center in the Netherlands. He is leading the way in developing our practice of robot-assisted microsurgery with multiple publications on the topic already and an exciting collaboration with the Department of Medical Robotics in Eindhoven University of Technology, as described in the article that Eliana will discuss as well. So thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Van Mulken.
Thank you for inviting me. Looking forward to it.
And we're also going to be joined by Professor Maria Manni as our independent expert today. She's an associate professor of plastic surgery at Uppsala University in Sweden and a world-renowned expert in the field of breast reconstructive microsurgery. She is currently working temporarily in New Zealand, and we're very grateful to her for joining us at this time of the day there. Thank you very much, Professor Manni.
Thank you very much. Looking forward.
And from EJPS, as always, we're honored to be joined by the editor-in-chief, Dr. Horatio Mayer. He is the deputy head of the plastic surgery service at the University Hospital Italiano de Buenos Aires in Argentina. He's also the chairman of the education committee of Icoplast, and he's a driving force that brings us all together each time. So thank you very much, as always, Horatio. And last but not least, we're joined by Dr. Eliana Camacho. She's a plastic surgery resident in the Center of Plastic, Reconstructive and Aesthetic Surgery in Uruguay, and she's going to summarize and appraise the article for us. So without further ado, I'll hand over to Eliana to begin her presentation. Thank you, Eliana.
Thanks for the invitation. I am going to do the appraisal of the article named "The Journey of Creating the First Dedicated Platform for Robot-Assisted Super Microsurgery in Reconstructive Surgery." This article was published in the European Journal of Plastic Surgery in the year 2020. The main author is Dr. Tom Van Mulken. He declares conflict of interest in this article because he is the medical chief and shareholder in the company MicroSure. The level of evidence of this article is level 5 because it's a therapeutic study. In microsurgery, qualities like dexterity and technical quality are of utmost importance. These qualities are susceptible to human fatigue, aging, and mindset. The robot assistants can potentially face these issues. The use of this technology can provide filtering of tremor and enhancement of dexterity. This article is a masterclass that aims to describe the development of a robotic platform for microsurgery. The first time that robots were used in surgery took place in 1970, then the FDA approved the use of Vinci surgical system. The first time that this technology was used in microsurgery took place in 2007 for a mini tram flap, but when surgeons used it, they realized that they had limited optic magnification and that the instruments were bulky and powerful for these procedures. So the authors had the idea to create a specialized robotic platform for microsurgery. In collaboration between microsurgeons and engineers, they create the MicroSure robots. The objectives of this project were improving surgeons' performance, being easy to integrate to workflow and the operating room, making it easy to use, providing safety and cost effective. This robot allows to use the conventional microscope with unchanged proximity between the patient and the surgeons. This allows to do hybrid operations and the use of the robot assistant when it's necessary. The arms of the robot can be loaded with genuine microsurgical instruments, and the small footprint creates an unchanged setup and workflow. They passed to the preclinical phase when they performed microsurgical anastomosis on 2 millimeter silicone vessels using manual and robot-assisted procedures. 3 participants with different levels of training performed 10 anastomoses on the manual way and 10 anastomoses using the robot. A medical student, a resident of plastic surgery, and an experienced microsurgeon. They were blindly evaluated by 4 experienced surgeons, and the time and improvement of performance was observed. The time to perform the anastomosis was longer using robot assistance, and the quality was lower compared with conventional anastomosis. However, steeper learning curves were observed. Then the experienced microsurgeon performed anastomosis in a vivo rat model of the abdominal and femoral artery. 7 anastomoses were performed using the MSR and 2 in the manual way. Again, time to perform anastomosis was longer using the robot, and they report 9 adverse events like robotic arm reset, system reset, and change of instruments. Now, a new version of the MSR was built called MUSA to be used in the clinical setting, and the results are going to be published in the near future. The authors think that this technology will improve the tactile feedback and the intraoperative imaging techniques, and that the future surgeons will need to be trained in both techniques. Like conclusions, the platform CREATE is feasible to perform microsurgical anastomosis. Robot assistance enables tremor filtration and enhances dexterity, although it takes more time to perform anastomosis. It has the potential to increase the quality of microsurgical procedures. However, further research and clinical testing are needed to use this technology. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Eliana. That was a lovely summary and really touched on the important points there. Before I hand over to Horatio, I just wanted to ask you, as a resident, as I am as well, what are your views on using a robot for microsurgery? Is it something that you'd like to see implemented in your training and your residency?
Yes, I think that this is a manner in which to improve the quality of microsurgical procedures, eliminating the possible human errors like such as tremor. Also, this platform will allow that the residents can practice and perform and obtain more needed training. So I think that this is a way to allow a different level of surgery.
Lovely. I agree. It's really exciting and something that hopefully after the clinical trials, we can start to implement and build into our training. It's a really exciting field. Thank you again, Eliana. That's a great presentation.
Thank you.
I'll just hand over to Horatio now to ask a few questions to Tom and Maria.
Thank you, Demi. I would like to first to tell the story behind this paper, because I met Tom for the very first time in Cartagena, Colombia, in one of the RANSES congresses. And I was listening at his presentation. And after finishing, I approached him and asked him about to write a paper about this wonderful platform. And so I invited him to send to me that a masterclass article. And this is why this is a level 5 in evidence-based medicine rating. But because this is the opinion of an expert, okay? Tom is an expert. He's a reference in robotic surgery around the world, and he did a great job. And I must to stress that he already has communicated his clinical experience in the Nature Communications, which is an open access journal of the Nature Group, and where he showed many of the flaws of the preclinical studies, that is delayed times in performing anastomosis, all those times were improved during their clinical experience. So I would like to congratulate Tom for his wonderful job. I must say also that this paper has already almost 3,000 downloads. So I'm very happy that he chose our journal to communicate the journey in creating this wonderful platform. I would like to ask him about one of the main advantages of this platform is that if compared with perhaps what is the most popular robot around the world, which is the Da Vinci system, is that it can be used with a traditional microscope. So the structure is simpler and also the cost. So first, I would like to ask him about how many equipments or how many robots do you have in the Netherlands or in another country around the world? And if compared to the cost of the Da Vinci system, can you tell us perhaps not exact figure, but in terms of comparing the cost, meaning percentage, how much is the difference in price between both technologies?
Okay, thank you, Horatio, and thank you for your kind introduction. I must say I'm honored that things go quickly when you have an idea and you go for it. I have disclosures because it started as a project when I was resident, just like the audience here. And it started as a crazy idea of building a robot for microsurgery because there was no robot for microsurgery. And by coincidence, we came into contact with the Technical University. They've got a big robotics lab and they said, why not make one? So as a resident, I thought, you know, everybody's doing research because you have to do it for your CV, etc. And I thought, this is cool. This is also useful. So that's how it started. And because this project went very well, started in 2007, it became a spin-off company of the university hospital where I work and the technical university. And I think it's good to explain, therefore I have disclosures. And that is, you can't do it without disclosures. So I started, as the introduction said, as the chief medical officer of this company, because the company, when we started it, were three persons. It was a technical guy and me and a part-time CEO. But I was doctor. So now it's a real company with investors, etc. I backed up. So now I'm clinical advisor of the company. And I think it's good to know for the audience how to level this, the things I say. Talking about the cost ratio and the amount of robots, there are now, it is not, you know, it has CE mark. So it would be possible to sell it. But the company chose not to sell it yet, but just look for other centers to make it better, to test it in a good way and do proper research. So there is nobody paid the price yet. And since I'm not working as some kind of guy who's selling robots, I don't know the price. So I'm sorry, I can shout out something, but then it's maybe totally false. I do know that a Da Vinci machine is more than $2 million. It won't be that much. So it will be cheaper, but I don't know the price. I'm sorry for that.
No problem. But do you have like the Da Vinci, any kind of disposables that increase the price in after a number of procedures that you need to replace, or do you don't have that problem if you compare with the Da Vinci?
Yeah, that's a good question because I was into the robotics and a lot of doctors, they don't like the Da Vinci because they do the Gillette trick. So the guys who shave, also ladies, you've got a cheap holder, but the knives are very expensive. That's the same trick Da Vinci does to make money. So there is an adapter. You've got two robotic arms. They are mounted to a ring. The ring is attached to the bed. I can show you if you want by sharing the screen. And you can click in any instrument you want. So we tried as a doctor and a technician to make it cheap. So there is a disposable, and the disposable is just the interface between the robot and the instrument you want to click in. So it's a 3D printed thing. And for the rest, we try to make it cheap to use your own microsurgical instruments and your own microscope as well. So you combine it with any microscope or any instruments. So there are disposables, but not like the Da Vinci, very expensive.
Thank you, Tom. And my last question is regarding to the telemicrosurgery. You know that the 5G technology is available in many countries around the world. What is your opinion about the future about telesurgery or telemicrosurgery with the 5G technology? Do you think that your robot is, I think you are excited about performing a super microsurgery in the Netherlands and operating a person in Australia, Africa, Uruguay, or the UK?
I would love to. Of course, that sounds really cool. I think that will take a lot of time. Telesurgery, they did it with the Da Vinci machine, operated between Paris and New York. But it was a huge project where they had extra lines in the ocean from France just to make it possible, because the danger is it takes a little bit of time in between what you see and what you do, and that's dangerous. Second thing is the hacking of systems, you know, China versus the US. I think it will be very tricky and it will take a lot of time before we go there. Eventually we will go there. And that's why, you know, Da Vinci started building robots to be able to operate out of space on astronauts or on the battlefield. That was why the robot was built. If you look now at Da Vinci, after 20 years, the surgeon is still in the room where the patient is connected. So I think there are a lot of issues before we can do this. And I also think that this tailor surgery and robotics, I think the first couple of years, we have to try to keep it simple. And that's why I think our system is built to be able to switch between manual operation and the robot, because you don't need a robot for the whole operation if you do flap surgery or whatever. So it should be quick with your hands, and only the anastomosis or very fine maneuvers, you use the robot. And that's why I think it's good to have a hybrid system, not a big robot, so you can just use it whenever you need it.
Wonderful, Tom. I think the same. And just another question that I forgot the light before. This wasn't my last one. Is your company thinking about developing some kind of platform for training in surgeon, you know, like using joysticks and a video game, and how to work with your robot? Is your company considering that? I mean, that somebody from his home with a platform could start training with a specifically a design platform to gain, you know, skills to, you know, at the moment when I start working with the real robot, you know, they were already trained. Are you planning to do that?
Well, so far we are going to several European centers to test the robot, because the robot is designed in Maastricht, where I work with Eindhoven. And of course, all our publications are sort of, we made the thing, we shouldn't evaluate it. So other centers in Europe will be the next to try and to evaluate. And these people will be trained with the robots, but that has to be real training, you know, with the robot. Of course, software is good enough to train, just like you can do in general surgery. A lot of these devices are there. And yes, of course, that will be the future. But for now, it will be real robotic training and not only software.
Thank you, Horatio. I just thought I'd ask a few questions to Professor Manny as well. What's your perspective on the idea of using a robot for microsurgery and changing, perhaps even at this stage of your career, from doing with your own hands to shifting to using the robot? Is that something that you would be interested in trying and that you think would work well for established microsurgeons already, perhaps?
Thank you for the question. Before I answer that question, I'd just like to thank both Horatio for making the opportunity, although this would maybe not be considered a classic research paper, but actually make sure that these kind of ideas are often to the public and to the people that are interested to read, and that we actually share our experience, not only through standard research, but also through ideas. So thank you very much for that. Whether to use this specific robot or something similar in practice, yes, absolutely. I think that there is a learning curve for anyone, and the question is whether you want to take that on or not in the time of your practice or where you're at. Personally, I'm that kind of person that I like to take on challenges. So yes, I would. I'm not sure that anybody would want that, but talking about the challenges and taking on that, I'm also would like to give a big thank to the group in Maastricht who has been daring this long process, because if you look at the start point 2007 and look where we're now 40 years down the line, it's a long, long journey that they're making. And it's actually a process where they put a lot of time and effort into something that we will maybe use. And that needs somebody who's daring to spend their time and money and energy on an idea. So I think it has to do with your timing and your personality a little bit. But the technique as such, yes.
Lovely, thank you. And I just thought I'd ask your perspective as well on an interesting comment with regards to the tactile feedback that it'd be interesting to ask Tom about as well, if that's being developed with the robot. But how much do you think when you're performing perhaps super microsurgery or very, very, very small, delicate vessels, is it more your hand-eye coordination that you rely on? Or do you think there's a degree of tactile feedback that you benefit from using your hands that may be more difficult unless the robot becomes a bit more established with this and able to provide that for you?
Yes, it's a very good question. And it's actually bigger than you think or that I thought. I am very glad that this paper brought up the possibility to actually enhance the tactile challenges, because it's something that I hadn't really thought about before so much. But there is quite a strong tactile also with supermicrosurgery, doing supermicrosurgery. However, it's difficult to know if it's your taught tactile, so that you see something, so therefore you feel what you previously felt, or it's actually proper tactiles. I can't say, but I can say that there is a feeling that I very strongly get from doing the surgery where I know if it's I'm taking the back wall or not, for example, even in supermicrosurgery. So there is that instrument. So if, as the paper was mentioning, the possibility to enhance that, that would probably improve the benefits of the robot.
Thank you. Yeah, I completely agree. Tom, is there, it was mentioned in the article, as we said, what's the plans with the robot to try and develop that at maybe?
Yeah, like Maria says, the way I think of it is that we are totally used to enhance our eyes when we do microsurgery. Nobody thinks about it. It's normal. Nobody is thinking about enhancing your hands. So that, to me, was the first thing I struck. Our hands are so good. We can do things without seeing it. I do microsurgery and hand surgery. And about the tactile feedback, it's a big discussion. There are microsurgeons saying, I can feel it. And there are microsurgeons say, you don't feel it, you see it. A lot of literature on it. But as we go smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, there will be no feedback for everybody. As our microscopes get better, we do super microsurgery. And if you talk to Professor Koshima in Japan, he goes way down. So yes, we want to have haptic feedback when we go down in very small microsurgery. On the other hand, if you have bad haptic feedback, that's terrible. So better have no feedback or good feedback. So that's a huge thing to get this feedback into the robot. So it's a project, but also that will take time. And that's why Da Vinci still doesn't have it after 20 years. And it's very complex to do it well. And that's when you think of how good our hands and our tactic feedback is of our hands and our proprioception. It's incredible. So robots are really good already. But if you work with robots, the human body is great if you think of it. So yes, it's coming, but it will take some time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really exciting. We've actually had a question in from Professor Zocchi, who's listening. So thank you very much for your question. He says, great work and great idea. Which is the most relevant advantage for microrobotic surgery? So the paper touches on a few advantages. Which one would you say is the most important?
I think there are two. First thing is you make microsurgery easier, and therefore the quality of the microsurgery between surgeons is more standard and goes up. Second thing I hope is that we can make new things possible that we just don't know and see now.
Yeah, interesting. I've just got two more questions, if that's okay. One was with regards to the machine learning. It was the last section of the article that you describe. And of course, if you have the robot, this collects data the whole time that it's being used. Is there plans to feed that into a machine learning algorithm to start to quantify a good or bad anastomosis or a good or bad bite and that sort of thing to really improve both training, but also the results in clinical practice as well? How far off do you think we are from achieving that with the big data that you can get from these sort of robots?
It still takes time. Also, that is something everybody knows that it will come, but at this moment, it's not there yet. I just checked PubMed and looked around if there is any artificial intelligence or automation of robotics, but it needs a lot of data before you can use it properly. And it's also because of you know, the problems with privacy of patients, etc. It's not easy to share all this information in the world. So there is a lot of information everywhere, but it hasn't been combined yet. So yes, it will come, but to my knowledge, it's not there yet.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. The issue of kind of interoperability and sharing data is going to be the limiting factor there. That's really interesting. And one other really interesting aspect from the results in your article is that when someone starts using the robot, no matter what grade they are, they're worse, they're slower, but then they improve quicker with the robot compared with the conventional techniques using the instruments in your hand. Firstly, why do you think that is? Is it that once you get used to it, then it's a more intuitive system and perhaps the tremor abolition is a big part of that? What are your thoughts on that?
That's difficult to answer as we haven't had a lot of participants doing a lot of surgeries. So I can't really say why that is. We need to do more research and have more trainees and people sit behind the robot and look at all these learning curves to figure it out. So it might be coincidence that we had these people, or it's a trend that will be in the largest amount of people.
Mm. Yeah, that'll be really interesting to see. We've actually had another question from Professor Zocchi. Thank you very much for sending these in. I'll perhaps ask this to Maria first. Prof Zocchi asks, do you really think that it's really necessary to further extend the limits of supermicrosurgery? So improve things further from what we do already.
That's a very big and philosophical question. Nor me nor anyone else can look into the future. I think that it's good to have a strategy that answers yes to that question, to constantly say that there is a future and we don't know much about it, but we need to take the next step. And trying something new like this, adding technique that to some extent or in some way will make us take a step towards the future, I think that's the way to go. And again, I don't know if it's going to be, I'm sorry, Tom, this specific robot that's going to do the job, but I know that we will be able to implement new techniques into our practice in a way to improve what we do today. On that matter, I think it's easy to say, and I say that myself, that I'm not so sure that this technique or this robot would make what I do better, but I'm hoping that it would make what the next generation does better, if that answers the question. That's only because I'm an old dog and I'm difficult to teach. So that's because I'm probably past my biggest learning curve. But I think that it has potential to bring us further. And I think that's very, very important in this whole aspect of showing what is happening and showing what we do. And that's why I'm so happy this is a kind of stepping stone towards the future.
Thank you. Yeah, that's so exciting. I can't wait to see where this goes. I guess just thinking on that point, one other question to Tom perhaps is, have you ever come across surgeons who you discussed this with who, or perhaps are trying the robot, and have they had any reaction with regards to their ego, perhaps that they feel that they should be able to do it with their hands, but actually they're using a robot? And do you think that some surgeons may think that, oh, I should not be using a robot, I should do it myself? Has that come up at all?
Yes, that's a very good point. And I've been thinking about that also. And it happens, of course, because microsurgery is difficult and not everybody is able to do it. Super microsurgery is even more complex. And if you are able to do that and you are the head of the department and the professor somewhere, you're happy with that niche. And I think that what this robot will do is will give more people the possibility to do this super fine work with comfort. And I think also the people who are good at it after a bad night of sleep and they have to operate, that it will enhance the steadiness. So I think for everybody, it will be a different enhancement. But yes, I think a lot of the older doctors being a little bit more conservative, because the medical field is conservative and it should be because we operate on patients, but they think, I don't need it, so why bother? And my reaction to that is, if you want to move forward, you shouldn't have that attitude. And I think it's up to the younger people to challenge the old to go forward. Not talking about Maria, by the way.
Thank you.
We have the same age.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice point to end the discussion of the article. And I think unless Horatio or Eliana, you have any other questions or comments at all, or Maria as well, any comments that you'd like to say with regards to the article?
It was just the comment on that the future is actually what's the important part here, and with the potential to improve it, enhance the other aspects and the things that we don't really see. I think that's is the greatest importance. And again, you touched on something with which is the doctors. I wouldn't necessarily say it eager, but we're proud of what we do and we like what we do. And so we're a little bit reluctant to take on something that we're bad at and something that we don't have control of and that we maybe won't be good at. So I think that's a challenge. And that's, again, why I'm so happy that the team in Masters has pushed them forward to do something which is a struggle in the beginning. So thank you for that.
I would like to say that another thing. I would like to take this opportunity that the opportunity that Michele Socchi is with us. Michele is the section editor of regenerative surgery at our journal. We are working in very interesting project that he called it regenerative super microsurgery. So Dimi, I would like you to, if you grant a privilege to Michele to do a question to the two microsurgeons that we have with us to know what they think about this amazing project.
Lovely. I'll see if I can make Prof. Socchi, I'll promote you to the panelists. If you're happy, I can allow you to speak.
Thank you to everybody. First of all, congratulations, Tom. I don't know if you know that recently I published an article in a European journal about 3 weeks ago. And of course, your article was the very first one that was cited in my article, because the idea, my idea that it took place about 2 years ago and has been consolidated last year during a long stage where I was a visiting professor with Fu Chan Wei. And I realized that technically speaking, microsurgery is quickly approaching its limits. When we are talking about a super micro, where you are making anastomosis of vessels that are being any number between 350 to 900 microns, it's behind any type of imagination, is a high skill. And why I appreciate the work you are doing, Tom, because your work is in some way helping average people like me to be able to approach and to expand the limits. It's like you said, it's not for everybody making an anastomosis like that. It's for young people that is not enjoying too much wine in the evening, that he can sleep well and is fully dedicated to that. But even with your robotic, really, technically speaking, I don't think there is the possibility to go any further. 200 microns, maybe. 150 microns, maybe. But which is the real advantage? The real advantage of going so much behind the borders. My fear is that becoming just a technical exercise. And so we dedicate our experience in regenerative surgery and say what we can do really to not to expand the limits, but make microsurgery more predictable, even in the average ends. And I feel that regenerative procedure, combined regenerative procedure working not only by injecting cellular component, blood derivatives, or amino acid or vitamins, whatever we are doing in other type of application in surgery, what we need to do is in some way control the evolution and make that more predictable. So stimulate the angiogenesis, the lymph angiogenesis in super micro, and control the cytokinic storm. Because whenever you have a trauma with the surgery, the first reaction is inflammatory response and immune response by the host. So we need to control that. And if combining your technique in order to make more accessible to average people so delicate anastomosis with other type of techniques that in some ways consolidating the result that you can get. Because when you do anastomosis of vessels of 900 microns, you need to in some way to redo the niche, to rebuild the niche around that, because it's so weak, so thin, that in some way we need to protect and support the evolution after the surgery. This is the goal of our project. It is called REM, Regenerative Assisted Microsurgery, and Super Microsurgery, RESM, where we are just starting now a project with a multicentric, with the guru, with the, almost embarrassed to say how many great names we have in the in this project, where my humble contribution will be only to support you, the magician of a small suture, in order to make your work to support, to protect the evolution of your work. And we really hope Horacio is in our group also, but we have Eric Santamaria, we have Halber Masia, we have Siniki, we have Tommy Van Cheng, we have really big names in seven groups around the world in order to work in this direction in looking when, how, and where to use the regenerative procedure. And I believe that we in some way should add the robotics in order to make that easier. I tell you, just if you allow me, 2 years ago, I'm not in the age, you see my errors, I'm not anymore in the age of microsurgery. I almost quit microsurgery when it was almost the beginning. But 2 years ago, they gave me as a gift an instructional course of 2 days on Da Vinci in Singapore. I was in the area, I flew to Singapore and I did a 2 days full instruction on Da Vinci. And I was amazed, like seeing what I was able to do with this monster, not in microsurgery, but just maneuvering. It was so easy, magnification. So imagine what you're doing is pretty similar. So we would like to work together and wish together. And you will be more than welcome to join us in the adventure. Thank you, Tom, for what you did. Thank you, Rasha, for this fantastic seminar and webinar. And we need to expand this idea, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Zocchi. Tom, did you want to say anything?
Well, thank you for your contribution and thank you for the nice words of our work. And it sounds like you're just as enthusiastic of pushing the possibilities of our field. I just want to end, because it's probably about to end, thing I want to say is, it's great you showed our project and our robot. I just want to encourage the plastic surgery residents to get into robotics because it is coming. Other surgical fields are far ahead, like urology, cardiac surgery, and it's most of it is Da Vinci, but there are several robots. The MicroSure robot is now one in the microsurgery work, but please keep your eyes open, and if you see something you like, follow it, because robots are coming, and as plastic surgeons, we are innovators, so we should push the limits. And you know, this robotics, there is already a lot of work with the Da Vinci machine as well, harvesting flaps, latissimus dorsi flaps, Trump flaps, and even Dieppe flaps now. So keep your eyes open, everybody, and go for it. And thank you for having my work presented here.
Thank you very much, Tom. Yeah, that's great. And thank you again for your advice for the residents. That's so important. And I think, as Eliana said at the start, all residents would be very excited to be having this as part of our training. And hopefully it can be in the very near future, because it's the future, as Maria was saying as well. Maria, just before we finish, I think it'd be really nice if we could get your perspective as well on just your advice for residents and trainees around the world, not necessarily just for robotics, but just in general, developing a career in microsurgery and perhaps breast reconstructive or all types of reconstructive microsurgery. What advice would you give to the residents to develop their career?
Thank you. I'll touch base on what we mentioned already. Find something you like, dare to focus. That's the first one. But also make sure you have a second leg that you stand on. So if this thing you're focusing on does not work, you have another one to stand on. So make sure you have two areas of experience that you perceive or continue to explore. And make sure you get involved in the research and the international network. It's going to be very, very rewarding, I assure you. And then the second part is associated to partner. Partner up at work. Make sure you have a good collaborative partner that supports you, that you can share your good and bad experiences with. And thirdly, have a good partner or situation at home that you can recharge in different areas outside of your work. Find those rechargers and go there often. So that's my
Thank you very much. Yes, that's great advice. And yeah, life outside of work is equally important as in work, so you can perform well at work as well. That's really important. Thank you so much. I've just noticed that we've had one more question with regards to the article. So while you're here, Tom, I might ask you this quickly if this is okay. It's a question from Christopher Sederland, who says, thank you for a great topic. He says, for the surgeons, the robot is very clever and can make use of the normal instruments, which is great. But as Prof. Zocchi was alluding to as well, do you think that in the future, perhaps we may need to have new variants of instruments that might allow us to utilize the full possibility of the robot, maybe doing maneuvers that aren't possible with the human hands, with more degrees of freedom?
That's a great comment, and I totally agree on it. So now we just use the conventional instruments as we are used to use it, and it's cheap. But for sure, in the future, totally new instruments, which cannot be held by the human hand, but a robot can use it, they will come. So that's a great thought, and I share it.
Lovely. Thank you so much. With that, I think we'll end the discussion. Are there any other comments that either Horatio or Michele or Eliana or Maria or Tom wanted to say at all? No, lovely. Thank you. It's been a really great discussion and a really, really interesting topic and great article to see the evolution through the stages from the design of the concept to now the clinical studies that are running. So we're really looking forward to seeing the results of those, hopefully in the coming year or so. So thank you so much for Tom doing this great work and driving this forward. I just want to say thank you very much to everyone who's been part of the journal club today. Firstly, thank you, Eliana, for your great presentation and summary of the article.
Thank you.
And thank you, as always, to Horatio for making this possible and for leading the journal and also the journal club in bringing this exciting topic to everyone's attention. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dimi, for making this possible.
Thank you as well to Professor Zocchi for your great comments and your questions to the panelists. We really appreciate you joining us today for your great insights and the exciting work that you're doing as well in the field of regenerative supermicrosurgery.
Thank you, Dimitri. I was unable to miss it.
Likewise, thank you so much. And thank you as well, especially to Professor Maria Mani for joining us very early in New Zealand. We really appreciate it. And it's great to see you and to hear your thoughts on this new technique. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you as well to Tom van Mulken for especially doing the work and making this possible and also showcasing it in EJPS so that the world can see the great work you're doing. So we look forward to the future and hopefully seeing this as part of our training and our practice in the very near future. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And if anybody wants to have questions or join the journey, please let me know.
Lovely. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining as well. It's been great having you. And we'll release this as a podcast in the next few weeks as well. So look out for that on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and any media as well. So with that, thank you very much. I hope everyone has a great rest of the day wherever you are. And we look forward to the next Journal Club in 2 months' time. See you all soon. Thank you for listening to this month's European Journal of Plastic Surgery Journal Club. Please send us your thoughts about the article on social media using the hashtag EJPS Journal Club. Thank you again and see you in 2 months for our next episode.